present Doctor in the House. Adapted for radio by Ray Cooney from the original novel by Richard Gordon, it stars Richard Briers as Simon Sparrow and Geoffrey Sumner as Sir Lancelot Spratt, with this week's special guest star, Irene Handel as Mrs. Clark. Episode 9, Outpatients.
Here we are in Outpatients. Now, come on, you three miserable layabouts. You've got the whole term to spend here. Now then, Outpatients, Sparrow, what does that convey to you?
The opposite to inpatient, sir.
Oh, great Scott, you're brilliant, Sparrow.
Thank you, sir.
Over there, you have the ear, nose, and throat. Further along, fracture clinic. And next door to each other, you have the infertility clinic and the birth control clinic.
That's jolly handy.
Shut up!
Well, it doesn't seem to have an awful lot to do with medicine, Sir Lancelot.
No, but it has a lot to do with people, Evans. Oh. Ah, here's the first outpatient. Deal with us, Sparrow. Benskin and Evans, you look after that lot over there.
Right, sir. Oh. Good morning, madam.
Good morning, my foot.
Oh, it's Mrs. Clark, isn't it?
Yes, of course it's Mrs. Clark.
Yes, we've had the pleasure of meeting before. I'll just get your file.
It must weigh a ton be now. Prison doctors here, they got more of my bits and pieces in bottles than what I've got left inside me.
Oh, right, here it is. Now, just check who you're supposed to see today. You're in surgical clinic this morning, Mrs. Clark. That's Sir Lancelot Spratt.
God help us all.
And why do you say that, madam?
Oh, I didn't see you standing there, darling. I've had some of him before. He's a frizzing butcher, he is.
Mrs. Clark, Sir Lancelot is chief surgeon at St. Swithin's and a very fine one at that.
Yes, he cuts you open as soon as look at you. He's had a bash at me 4 times already.
Well, you're only here for an examination this morning, Mrs. Clark.
Yeah, that's what you said last time. Kept me in, you did. And before you could say Dr. Crippin, I was on the frizzing table. You took out me colon, didn't you? Oh, half of it. Here, I made my husband laugh. I told him he'd left me with a semicolon.
I don't mind doing the night duty, honestly, Simon.
Well, okay, we'll have a chat over lunch.
Well, I don't mind, honestly. But no, you've volunteered for the last 3 nights here in the accident room.
Well, no, honestly, I don't mind.
Come on, Taff, out with it.
Out with what?
You've found yourself a little night nurse, haven't you, eh?
Night nurse?
Yes, you can't fool old Benskin. You've got that bloodshot, lustful look in your eye.
Boy, haven't, have I?
Yeah. Your tongue's practically sweeping the floor. Haven't you noticed it, Simon?
Well, I thought you looked a bit of a wreck. More so than usual, really.
You want to watch these night romances, Taff?
What do you mean?
Well, the conditions in a ward during the early hours of the morning are definitely aphrodisiac. I mean, you know, the nurse sitting alone at one end of a long room, illuminated only by a red-shaded table lamp. The soft, warm light makes her as desirable as a ripe peach. She and the student are the only two awake in a sleeping world, and they draw together with a tingling sense of isolation.
And thank you, Godfrey Wynne.
Well, that's how it all came about, isn't it, Tap?
What?
This night nurse affair.
Well, sort of.
Aye.
I don't know how you do it, Taffy. What's he got that I haven't, honey?
Oh, nothing. No, nothing. He just knows what to do with it, that's all.
Well, actually, she's an absolute cracker. Molly, her name is Molly Graham.
Well, go on, Taff, give us some details. I mean, how did it all come about?
Well, I met her on my first night, Judy. She made me a cup of cocoa. You know, while she was mixing a drink for the patient's night rations.
None of the night nurses ever offered me a cup of cocoa. You're dead, Jammy, honestly.
Well, and then one thing sort of led to another, you know.
Yes, we know.
I don't.
Well, use your imagination, will you, girl? I mean, it's not difficult to see what could happen over a cup of cocoa in a quiet ward. Their hands brushed together in a determined accident.
Oh, blimey's off again. Yeah.
Their fingers entwined, and the only thing to disturb them...
I know, a patient calling out for a bedpan.
But she's a lovely girl, is Molly.
They're all lovely girls. Now, don't you go getting serious, Tap.
Serious? Oh, I'll watch it.
There we are. In here, please.
All right, miss. I know my way around this place like the back of me hand. A toffee-nosed hussy. Come on, Stanley. You stay close to Auntie Rosie. Oh, I love him.
I don't like this place.
Do's your frizzing well told, little beggar.
I'll leave Mrs. Clark with you, then.
Thank you, nurse. Oh, hello, Mrs. Clark. How are you?
Oh, it's you again, is it? Oh, you do get around, don't you?
Well, they keep us busy.
Haven't they got any qualified doctors in this place?
But if it's serious, you'll see one soon enough, don't worry. Now, what seems to be the trouble?
Well, it's not me for a change. It's my sister's boy, Stanley.
Oh, hi.
Hello, Stanley.
Don't touch me!
Yes? Well, I'm off for lunch, yes. I believe you're on accident duty, aren't you, Simon?
I think so, yes.
Oh, well, I'll join you, Tony. And don't forget, I'm on duty tonight, Simon. I see you.
Yes. Well, seems a healthy little chap. Now, how old are you, Stanley?
9 and a half.
Jolly good. You are a big fellow for your age, aren't you? Yes, now, what seems to be the trouble over
there? I'm not telling you.
Oh.
He's got this funny swelling.
Oh. Now, where's this, Stanley?
I'm not telling you.
I see. Now, it's in your... around your... up your...
It's up his nose.
Oh, his nose? Well, why wouldn't he tell me that?
I don't know.
Right, let's have a look then, Stanley.
No.
I won't hurt you.
I'm all right. It's my nose, isn't it?
No, don't be silly, Stanley. Let's have a quick... Yes, I can see a slight swelling.
It's worse inside. He won't let anybody touch it or look at it proper.
It's my nose.
No. Does it hurt, Stanley?
I'm all right.
That's all you can get out of him. Serves you right if your flaming nose blows up.
Now then. I'm sure we don't want that to happen, do we, Stanley? Now, look, have you been in a fight at school or anything like that? You know, walked into a wall or a door?
No good trying to chat me up. Come on, Arnie, I want to go home.
Ah, Sparrow.
Oh, good morning, Sir Lancelot. Or should I say afternoon?
It's quite a material watch, you say, Sparrow. Where are your two confederates, Benskin and the horrible Welshman?
At lunch, sir.
Are they? Well, I want the three of you in the operating theatre at 4 o'clock this afternoon. I've got a craniotomy which will be worth watching.
I'll say it should.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Clark. What brings you to the casualty department?
My sister's boy.
Oh, and what's amiss with you, young man?
Eh?
What is the trouble?
Nothing.
Oh, nothing. Well, that shouldn't take long to cure, should it?
No one's trying to do the old chatting up lot.
You watch your tongue. This bloke's a lord.
Oh, well, not quite yet, madam. No.
Sir, apparently he has some sort of lesion in his nasal passage.
Does he now?
And he won't let me look at it, sir.
It's my nose.
Well, run along to my room, Sparrow, and get my bag, will you? And hurry up. I'm due in the theatre in 10 minutes.
Theatre? What are you going to see?
The operating theatre, madam.
I'll be as quick as I can, Sir Lancelot.
Now, Stanley, are you going to let me take a look up your nose?
No.
The last little boy who wouldn't let me look up his nose is now a very sorry little boy indeed.
Why?
Because I had to amputate.
Hey?
Yes, cut it off. It was the only way we could inspect it.
You cut his nose off?
Yes, madam. We attempted to sew it back on again, but to no avail.
What happened to him?
Who?
This little boy whose nose you cut off.
Oh, reasonably fit. Yes, reasonably. Can't smell, of course. Misses the aroma of roast beef, fish and chips, baked beans, things like that. That's all. That's about all.
You mean he hasn't got no nose?
Oh, he hasn't got no real nose, no. We fitted him up with a plastic job, but they're not the same, are they? Yes, I think we may have to operate in your case, young man. Now, what's your name?
Stanley.
Stanley? Oh, it's a pity, Stanley. You've got quite a nice little nose, as noses go, haven't you?
Aren't you? I said you're a frigging butcher.
Yeah. Oh! Oh, never!
Did she know?
Yeah.
And how right she is.
Better let him have a look at it, Stan.
Well, go on then.
Now you're being sensible. Right now, face the light, Stanley. That's it now. Slightly swollen, isn't it? Tip your head back. Yes, I see. Interesting. Oh, fascinating color. Tell me, Stanley, who put the aniseed ball up your nose there?
Aniseed ball?
Yes, it won't be too difficult to remove, madam.
You silly great nana. What you been playing at?
I was only a joke. Eddie Perkins bet me at school I couldn't keep it up there for a week.
Oh, you little basket.
Well, I didn't know you were going to drag me down here.
Well, why didn't you tell me, instead of letting me make a poppy show of myself? I could knock you from here to the middle of next week.
Here we are, Sir Lancelot.
Oh, thank you, Sparrow. Oh, now, That's right. Here's my torch, fellow. Have a look up Stanley's nose.
Oh, you've made him see sense, have you, sir?
Yes, we understand each other, don't we, Stanley?
I'm going to tell my dad about you.
No, Stanley. Now, put your head back, Stanley. Now, let's have... Good heavens.
It's a bit of a surprise, this fellow. Never know what you'll find, do you?
Well, sir. What do you think it is, sir? A boil?
A what?
Looks very painful. It's all the colours of the rainbow.
Sparrow?
Yes, sir?
It is not a boil.
Isn't it?
No, take another look.
Right. It could be a carbuncle, I suppose. Some sort of abscess. But would you mind if I felt it very gently with a probe, Stanley?
No. Oh, go on, Sparrow, no. Go on. This is most enlightening.
Oh, thank you, sir. Well, it's pleasant to be able to show that one has learnt something during the last 5 years.
Yes, isn't it?
Now, tell me if I'm hurting you, Stanley. Don't worry. Head well back. That really is very nasty. Good Lord, it's as solid as a rock. It must have been building up for years. I'd say definitely that it was some form of furuncle, usually due to infection by a germ known as Staphylococcus.
Staffy who?
I suggest we send him along to the ear, nose, and throat clinic.
You do?
Definitely, sir.
I trust you will append your signature to that report card, Sparrow.
Yes, sir. Don't worry, Stanley. Don't worry. They'll probably keep you in for no more than a couple of days, you see. We'll put you on a diet and give you a little opening medicine.
You raving idiots!
I beg your pardon?
Here's a pair of tweezers. Now pull that bloody furuncle out.
Pull it out?
He shoved a gobstopper up his nose, you twit.
A gobstopper?
Yes, if you ever get into general practice, Sparrow, heaven help the children in your district. You'll be amazed what they can do with a stick of rock and such like. Now, get that damn sweet out.
Over here, Simon. What'll it be?
Oh, half a bed, please, Danny. Where's Taff?
Dunno.
He said he'd meet us over here before closing time. It's 10:00 now.
Well, he's probably fallen asleep somewhere. I've never seen anyone look so haggard.
Well, not surprising, you know. He's just done his 11th consecutive night duty.
It's nice for us, though, eh? Now, Padre, pint and a half of best, please.
Pint and a half. How are you, gentlemen? Well?
Fit as a fiddle.
Marvellous. I really feel as though I'm beginning to know what it's all about.
Yes, once you've learnt the difference between a carbuncle and a boiled sweet, you'll be fine.
Sir, don't remind me, please. Spratt thinks I'm the biggest catastrophe that ever happened to St. Swithin's.
Yes, and Sir Lancelot was there when that doodlebug destroyed half the West Wing.
Honestly, when we sit our finals, I know you'll fail me.
Nonsense. He likes to have a butt, that's all. You're all right. The bloke to worry about is our Taffy. If Matron or Fanny get to hear about this little romance of his, he'll be kicked out on his ear. God, I'm surprised at Taff getting hooked like this. He's such an experienced old ram. I don't know. Talk of the devil. Here he is.
Good. He looks like a walking zombie. Come over here.
Get me a brandy, will you?
A brandy?
A double brandy.
Well, go on, Tony. You're in the chair.
Yeah, what are you, double brandy? My foot has got to be damn serious for that.
Well, it is. I've just asked Molly to marry me.
One double brandy coming up.
Padre!
You're kidding.
I'm not.
When did it happen?
Well, 10 minutes ago in the sluice room of Virtue Ward.
I can't believe it.
Well, neither can I.
It's fabulous, Tap. Congratulations.
What do you mean, congratulations? It's disastrous.
Disastrous?
I must have been out of my tiny Welsh mind.
I don't get you.
Well, I'm so tired, you see. What have I done? What have I done?
I've heard of people regretting getting married, but I've never known anyone suicidal 10 minutes after they got engaged.
Engaged? Oh, hell's bells.
Here's your brandy.
Is it a double?
It's a treble.
Oh, God.
You're going to need it.
Oh, thanks.
You look pitiful, Tap.
Oh, I wish I was in the mortuary.
He's regretting it already, Tony.
Well, of course he is. He's only normal, isn't he? Oh, Taff, dear old Taff, how could you have let it happen?
Well, I wasn't thinking. I'm so flipping tired.
You'll be very, very happy.
Oh, heaven help me.
Now, Simon, will you shut up? He needs practical help, poor fellow, not platitudes.
Well, the girl might have forgotten about it by the morning, perhaps.
You raving idiot.
Oh, she won't forget.
Well, of course she won't. It's what they're all after.
Oh, tomorrow morning at night nurse's breakfast, she'll tell them all.
She certainly will. Guess what, girls? Taffy Evans proposed to me last night. We're getting married in May.
Oh, heaven help me.
Why the devil did you ask her if you're so much against it?
Well, I'm so tired. I was caught unawares. She was in the sluice room, you see, washing out the doodahs.
Oh, very quixotic, yes.
Well, I was giving her a hand. Before I knew where I was, I heard myself proposing to the stupid woman.
Taff, are you absolutely sure she accepted?
Sure?
She didn't mishear you or anything?
Oh, no. Oh, what have I done?
Oh, belt up and get that brandy on.
Now, where's your fellow feeling, Simon? Poor Taft's in agony. Now, Taft, what did you actually say to her? I mean, you know, you might not have committed yourself legally.
I said to her, Molly, will you marry me?
Molly, will you marry me?
Hmm. Pick the buns out of that.
Yeah. Well, now, Taft, you didn't actually say when, did you?
No, I asked her. It'll be all around the flaming hospital in the morning. Oh, heaven, oh,
help. Give over, will you?
Wait a minute. Tapping.
Yes?
What did Molly reply?
Reply?
Yes, to your proposal. Did she definitely commit herself?
Well, she said, yes, please.
Yes, please.
Pick the bones
out. Oh, shut up a minute, will you?
It'll be all around the hospital by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
It'll probably be in the Times the day after.
Oh!
Wait. This needs some thought.
But can you picture it? Me married. Look, we've got to think of something. You've got to help me in my hour of need.
Yes, sir. What the blazes do you think you're doing?
Doing a lot.
Do you have to repeat everything I say like a blasted parrot, Sparrow?
Parrot, sir?
Benson.
We're just having a quiet drink, sir. You know, the three of us are...
A quiet drink?
Yes, sir.
And who the blazes is supposed to be on night duty in the accident room?
Great Scott.
Yeah, well, Great Scott, whoever he is nowhere to be found, Evans.
Well, no, it's me, sir. I mean, I'm on duty.
You consider this being on duty, knocking back large quantities of alcohol in the King George?
No, sir.
Excuse me, sir. Evans has just had a bit of a shock.
Shock? You know, damn sight more than that if he doesn't get back to the accident room.
Well, I haven't missed a patient, have I, sir?
No, not yet, Evans. Get that drink down here. What's this shock you've had?
Well, nothing, sir. Well, I've asked someone to marry me.
You really? Who was it, Evans? Sparrow?
No, it was one of the nurses.
One of the... You must be mad.
I must be, sir.
Which one?
Molly Graham, night nurse on Virtue Ward.
Oh, yes. The little plump one, yes. She's rather attractive. She suffers from Duck's disease, though, doesn't she?
Duck's disease?
Yes, shaggy bottom. Why the hell have you asked her to marry you?
Well, I'm not quite sure, sir.
Sure, you stupid Welshman.
It happened in the sluice room, you see, sir.
Oh, did it, Sparrow? That explains everything, of course. Yeah.
Well, we were trying to think of what Evans could do about it, sir.
If I were Evans, I certainly wouldn't listen to you, Sparrow. A man who confuses an abscess with an aniseed ball should be avoided at all times.
Now, sir, that was a mistake that could happen to anyone, sir.
Oh, no, Benson, not anyone. With a what a trio you make. Evans, who proposes to nurses with Duck's disease.
Oh.
Sparrow, diagnosed an 8-month pregnancy as wind. Benskin?
Dear me, sir, you can't insult me, sir.
You're quite right, Benskin. You're too damn ignorant to be insulted. Go on, Evans. Get over to the accident room.
Oh, yes, sir. A cheery old boy.
Oh, what a drag. We'll try and think of something. Don't worry, Taft.
Yeah, and keep clear of your Molly for the rest of the night.
I will. Oh, heaven.
Get you down.
Last orders, please.
Same again all round, please, Padre.
Good evening, Sir Lancelot. How are you, sir?
Sure, bearing up. These wretched students will be the death of me. I'm a vintage port, Padre. Will you join us?
Oh, very kind, sir. A light ale, sir.
Now, Benskin, Sparrow, what are we going to do about that fool Evans?
But about his engagement, you mean, sir?
Yeah, of course his engagement. Silly idiot. It's got to be extricated.
Well, it's tricky, sir.
Don't say it's tricky. You've got to move tonight. If I know nurses, it'll be round Swithin's by the morning, and Evans' goose will be well and truly cooked.
Excuse me, Sir Lancelot. I couldn't help overhearing the conversation. Do I take it that Mr. Evans has gone and proposed to a young lady?
Yeah, yes, indeed.
And you're looking for a way out?
Yes.
Then might I suggest, Sir Lancelot, that you adopt the method employed by yourself in 1937, I think it was.
Me, Barry, what?
Yes, sir. You'd gone and proposed to that fat little nurse in male surgical. Sweet little thing, but carried all behind her.
Saggy bottom the first.
You'd had a couple too many, Sir Lancelot, and got carried away at the children's Christmas tea party.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's coming back. Yes, it really was very simple. That should work the trick for Evans.
Mm. Yeah. What does he have to do, sir?
Well, he goes round the hospital tonight proposing to every nurse on duty.
What? Is that what you did, sir?
Yes, I must have created some sort of a record to make 37 proposals of marriage in 5 hours.
Good Lord.
37 proposals, 36 acceptances.
What happened to the odd one out?
She was a male nurse.
But are you sure it'll work, sir? For Evans, I mean.
Oh, it's bound to, yes. The nurses will feel such fools when they meet at breakfast. None of them will ever speak to him again. They'll never want to marry him. Now, Sparrow, you take over on duty in the accident room. I'll wander around and keep Saggy Bottom chatting while Evans gets chatting. Hey, now, check your watches. I reckon he has to be finished by 5:30 a.m. Yes, that gives him approximately 6.5 hours. There's about 40 nurses knocking around. That means maximum 10 minutes a nurse.
It's not much time, sir. Do you think it'd be a good idea if I proposed to a few of them, you know, just to confuse the issue?
No fear. Knowing your ability to confuse the issue, you'll end up in a registry office before daybreak. Good night, you padre, and thanks for jogging my memory.
Oh, I know plenty more stories of when you were a student, Sir Lancelot.
Well, keep them to yourself. That's a good chap, will you? Come on, gentlemen, come on.
It's such a damn ridiculous timetable. 40 proposals before breakfast? It's ridiculous.
But you got yourself into this mess. You can't afford to hang about either. It'll just have to be, hello there, lovely night, will you marry me, what's your name? Here's the rotor.
Oh, it won't work.
Have you got any other ideas?
Yes, I'll borrow a key to the poison cupboard.
Tat, you wouldn't contemplate suicide.
Well, not for me, for Saki Bottom.
Charming. She didn't propose to you, you know.
Oh, heaven help me.
Oh, stop moaning. Sir Lancelot is keeping your Molly chatting, so you've got a clear coast. Now, go on, get packing.
All right. Bye. Oh, sorry.
Oh, excuse me. I believe you're on duty, Mr. Sparrow.
Yes?
Oh, things are hotting up, rather. A young lad has just been brought into casualty. He's come off his motorbike. Quite a lot of blood and needs a spot of stitching in his thigh. Yes. There's also an old lady who's kicking up a fearful row. You better come.
Oh, it sounds like you'd better find Sir Lancelot. He's in a sluice room somewhere with Saggy Bottom.
What?
Forget it. Find Fanny. Sir Lancelot.
Oh, right away.
Oh, God, me hip is killing me. You've busted me back.
Mrs. Clark.
Oh, God.
No. You better sit down.
I can't, you silly nana. I'm doubled up.
What on earth happened?
I fell off the la-la.
Off the what?
Off the toilet. I went into dam and missed it. Oh, my back.
Right, how's the patient, nurse? Well, Mrs. Clark, you shouldn't be riding motor bicycles at your age.
Eh?
No, Sir Lancelot, I'm afraid.
Wearing only a nightie and a dressing gown, you'll catch pneumonia, woman.
What are you nattering about, you silly great nana?
Oh, no, Mrs. Clark, I know you're in pain, but you must...
Well, why don't somebody do something? Oblige me. I've crickled me cough kicks.
Excuse me. Sparrow, has or has not Mrs. Clark had a motor bicycle accident?
No, sir. There's a young man in casualty requires stitching.
Oh, she. And what's wrong with Mrs. Clark?
She fell off the la-la, sir.
Fell off the what?
The lavatory, sir.
Oh, well, ask a silly question. I don't know. Well, let's have a look at you, madam. On the table with us, Sparrow.
Oh!
Yes, lift. Oh. Come on, lift.
Oh.
Up.
I am lifting.
Oh, don't!
Really?
Oh.
Now, let's have a gentle feel on your tummy. Now, does this hurt?
Ow!
Well, does it?
Of course it does, you frizzing butcher.
I'm afraid you've dislocated your hip, madam.
Oh, somebody give him the OBE.
Sparrow, don't do anything till I get back.
Yes, sir. No, sir.
In the meantime, you apply cold water compresses to relieve the pain. And don't attempt manipulation, for heaven's sake. With your aptitude for disaster, you'll probably kill the damn woman.
What was he saying?
Nothing. Just lie still.
Well, I can't do nothing else, can I? If I breathe, it kills me. Oh.
Nurse, prepare a cold compress, will you?
Yes, sir.
I don't want a flipping compress. Oh, this is murdering me. You come and shove me back into place, darling.
I'm afraid I can't.
Oh, go on, darling. You're a doctor, aren't you? Or hoping to be?
I know, Mrs. Clark, but Sir Lancelot said I wasn't to attempt manipulation. It's quite serious, you see. I mean, you may have to have an anaesthetic or something.
Don't you listen to that, butcher. All he wants is to get me back on the table again. He'd operate on you for freckles, that bloke. Oh, my back.
I really can't. It may require plastering.
I'm not a flipping ceiling, you know. Now, you listen to me, young man. I've heard the way that Sir Lancelot talks to you. Thinks you're a proper twerp, he does.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
No, you wouldn't, but I would. I mean, anyone could have made that mistake about the aniseed ball. Well, I mean, nearly anyone. You show him you've got a mind of your own. Show him you're not as silly as you look.
Here's your cold compress, Mr.
Sparrow. I would require the compress, nurse.
But Sir Lancelot...
Yes, I know, but Mrs. Clark is my patient, thank you, nurse, and my prescribed treatment is immediate manipulation to remedy the dislocation.
But Sir Lancelot...
The longer she's left like this, the worse for the patient. Now, lift Mrs. Clark's nightdress, please, nurse.
Yes, okay.
That's the stuff to give the troops. Oh, gently go!
Good heavens.
What's up?
Well, you have put your back out, haven't you? Your left side's about 6 inches higher than your right.
Well, you get ready to sit on it, then. Because anything's better than sprat the knife.
Right, now, Mrs. Clark,
come
steady.
On,
steady.
Now,
here
well,
we go.
Yes.
Here we go now.
Oh, oh, darling! You're killing me! Oh, that's better. Oh.
Oh.
Sparrow, come down off Mrs. Clark at once. Sparrow, explain yourself.
Well, Sir Lancelot,
Yes, Sparrow?
You said I was to apply a cold compress.
Is your idea of applying a cold compress jumping up and down on a patient's pelvis?
No, sir. You see, I thought...
Well, that's an innovation to start with.
It was my opinion...
Yes.
...that we should act as quickly as possible, and the patient herself felt that she'd rather be manipulated than butchered, operated on. So I... She...
Do you know what you've done, Sparrow?
No, sir.
I'll tell you what he's done. He's put me ruddy hip back.
But I beg your pardon?
Look...
I wouldn't try walking, Mrs. Clark. You must rest for a few days.
Go on, I'm as right as rain. Look.
Well, I'll go to places.
You very likely will, Anor.
What the hell did you do to the woman, Sparrow?
I sat on her, sir.
Sat on her?
Yeah, well, I think I knew where I was sitting, sir. I mean, what I was doing.
Well, I'm very pleased to hear it. Well, this will make interesting reading on the injury sheet. Illness, dislocated hip, treatment, sat on it.
He's a lovely boy. He is. There's some people here would have plastered me.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
You're not well with young Mr. Sparrow, are you?
For disobeying a superior's order, Sparrow, you'll be in front of the dean in the morning.
Oh, Lord.
For acting on your own initiative and saving a patient unnecessary suffering, well done, Doctor. Well done. Yeah, couldn't have managed better myself.
I'm going home now.
Well, how will you manage this time
of night? Of course. It's only 10 minutes.
Oh, nonsense. I'll organise an ambulance for you.
I'm not being driven around in one of them. I'd rather go be public convenience.
Nonsense. Now, you let me drive you, madam.
You?
Yes, I'm on my way home. The various crises seem to be over. My wife was expecting me hours ago. My car's outside.
Oh, well, that's different.
Yes, well, gently, does it, madam? I take my arm. That's right, Mrs. Clark. Come along. There we are.
Oh, I think we'd make a lovely couple, Sir Lancelot.
Will there be anything else, Mr. Sparrow?
Well, oh, sorry, nurse, I've forgotten all about you. Yes, no thanks. And thanks very much for helping.
Oh, pleasure. I'll just tidy up.
Right. Tappy. You look dreadful.
Oh, hell's bells, I'm dead.
How did you get on?
Well, I think it's worked. I've had 47 acceptances.
47? Well done.
Is this stretcher occupied? Lovely. Oh.
I say, who was the one who let you down?
I got to sleep.
But you were supposed to ask 48.
Yes, I couldn't find Nurse Vincent.
Yes, did you want me?
Are you Nurse Vincent?
Yes.
Ah, now, Tap, go on.
Did you want anything else, Mr. Sparrow?
Yes, I think it would be safer. Better.
Better?
Yes. How do you feel about getting married?
Oh, Mr. Sparrow, I didn't realize you'd notice me.
Well, of course I notice you. I mean, you know, me? No. When I say married, I mean you don't get the little... Tappy, for heaven's sake, wake up, you Welsh clot.
In that episode of Doctor in the House, written by Ray Cooney, the parts were played as follows. Simon Sparrow, Richard Bryars, Sir Lancelot Spratt, Geoffrey Sumner, Tony Benskin, Ray Cooney, Taffy Evans, Edward Cast, Nurse Carol Mason, Padre Michael Deacon, Stanley Robin Davis, and this week's special guest star, Irene Handel as Mrs. Clark. Doctor in the House was adapted from the original novel by Richard Gordon and produced by David Hatch.
Geoffrey Sumner is in Uproar in the House at the Whitehall Theatre, and Irene Handel in My Giddy Aunt at the Savoy Theatre, London.